Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
The gift of God comes into our life so that we may be able to hear His promise, His good news for us. It helps if I turn on my microphone for you to hear me, which really goes with my opening, which is, can you hear me now? Have you heard the good news? Did you hear what they said? Or did you hear what happened? The sense about hearing is taking in a message that has been spoken, that our God-given gifts of auditory, the capacity to take in the meaning through words spoken, music played, the expression of the sounds of nature is that great gift. And Jesus would say what the Hebrew prophets frequently said, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, then make sure that you're seeing and hearing. That great American hero, Helen Keller, said of all the sights that she wished she could have had when she was born, because her story was, as most of you know, she was born without the ability to see, to hear, or to speak naturally. She said she would like to be able to hear, because when we lose our capacity to hear, the world can just get smaller and smaller and smaller. One has to work intentionally to try to keep the world open and big. The power of hearing in Scripture is so that God wants to keep our hearing Him, hearing each other, and being able to actually hear ourselves. We are so lonely in our world. The government of England has appointed a minister as a minister for loneliness. A number one feeling that's being registered across various surveys in America is the feeling of loneliness. The sense of not being included, not knowing if we connect, if we matter. And hearing the good news of God's love means that we are present with Him wherever we are, and really to hear each other. It's interesting, isn't it, that we're feeling so separated and so lonely when words have been so accessible, more accessible than ever before. Now, the old-fashioned way of communicating is conversation. One of the latest surveys says that a typical woman will speak about 16,755 words a day, and a typical man will speak about 15,672 words a day, and I'll let you work it out in your own home if those are accurate numbers or not. And of course, the question is, how much is being heard where the words are spoken? But then you add to that are many ways of communicating. There are 6,000 tweets tweeted every second, over 500 million tweets a day. There are 500,000 Facebook comments posted every minute. And there are 1.7 billion websites in our world. We're working hard to get messages out there, but the question is, are we really listening? The power of listening is so important to God that He opens the great commandment with listening, with hearing. Hear, O Israel, listen, O Israel, Shema, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. And in your listening, know that you are to love then the Lord your God with all of your heart and your mind and your body and your strength. And in your listening, that you may love your neighbor. And in your listening, you may love yourself. And in this conversation of hearing, you will know the power of love. Diagnosing the ache of the soul of our world comes right down to the heart of this matter, that we're doing five case studies in March, looking at five different stories about hearing and listening to God and to each other. It seems so basic, and yet we're failing so miserably at that which is essential and it's life-giving. Now, a lot of things can get in the way. Well, for instance, not too long ago, I walked into my office and we had just had a staff luncheon party, and I went there to, you know, get on with my other work of the day and to open the scripture and to pay attention. And when I got in my office, there was somebody else sitting in my chair. A focus had been a staff appreciation day and a wonderful time, and there were some life-size minions that were there, and one just walked over to my office, sat in my chair, opened up the Bible, and began to read, and kind of looked at me like, is it really necessary for you to be here too? We can let a lot of things get in the way of our listening. A lot of that has to do with our worry. A lot of that can do with our anger. A lot of that is like, do you really like me? You're going to listen to me? Are you really, does it really matter if I hear you or that I'm with you right now? And God wants it to be clear from the very beginning. We are loved by him, but we are called to hear him. So often we can step into our prayer time thinking that our prayer is about telling God all the things he should be hearing from us. And then God will just quietly listen to us and then say, okay, are you ready to hear from me? Well, we have to be careful that we don't conclude that every message that we receive in our prayer is an exact word from God, but what we can get are some very clear impressions, very clear sensing, very clear confirmations from the Scripture that needs to be confirmed in Scripture, and we can know that we have been with God in prayer by the experience of prayer, and then we work to flesh out what that meaning is. So hearing God in our noisy world is a major challenge for all of us. The unplugging is a word of our culture by saying that we are so plugged in. There are times we intentionally have to discipline ourselves. And, you know, Ash Wednesday, that our service is this Wednesday evening. And then, oh, by the way, some of you as Baptists might think, do Baptists really celebrate Ash Wednesday? Just substitute in the word getting ready for Easter, okay? Getting ready for Palm Sunday and Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and for Easter celebration. The preparation for that and the whole purpose of Lent, the word meaning spring, for the season of preparing for Easter is to prepare to really hear the message of God in the resurrection, his bigness, his aliveness, his power, his promise. We're entering a season to really listen, to be able to hear what God is saying on the resurrection day. Listening has this powerful force of breaking through, and that's why, as Jacob said, and by the way, Jacob, 2 years with us. We're grateful to God. Yeah. A lot has happened in these 2 years. Yeah. Thanks be to God that you heard God's call to come. So it was Thursday evening with Jacob's leadership and CMAC and many of you that we gathered at our other campus, at our TriPoint campus, and members of the community came, and we would listen to poetry, and we sang songs which are poetic expressions around the racial divide, all in the promise of God by prophet spoken, and in the word of God's word speaking to our lives, we listened to each other. It's a powerful experience to listen and know that we are connected to each other. So as we listen to God, we listen to God first to understand what's going on. What in the world is happening? That's really the question around our world. In the midst of this time of more than 7 billion people trying to find where we stand in light of each other and where we stand within ourselves, it is a big question, and God has a promise for us if we will listen to him to understand. And so it's interesting that we can go back to a story that was written over 3,000 years ago and take this message into our own life. When Jacob had us pause and really pay attention to the hymn that we were about to sing, did you notice the birth date of the person who arranged and composed it? It was 1981, which means he is, what, 38 years old? Working with music that was that fresh way from 3,000 years ago. Why is that? Because God's word doesn't have a shelf life. God's word is eternal. God's word that was spoken and inspired in Scripture for our lives is classic, and it is ancient modern, as Weber would say. It is with us always in his promise and his truth. And so to understand what's going on, we really have to hear God. He's the creator of the heaven and the universe. It's like a good pause, and God's saying, I'm glad you were willing to stop. You know, in the psalmist who said, be still and know that I am God. The other day I was doing some work by myself, and I all of a sudden I paused. I thought, usually by right now I'm listening to music or I've got a podcast going on, and I thought, just stay with the silence in my work. We will surround sound to ourselves to try to ease maybe the pain inside our soul or to do multitasking with our life. And God says there are times just to be still and know. And what do we hear? Well, what's said in the psalm is Psalm 46:1, that promises Psalm 46:10. What he heard was, the Lord is my God and my refuge, my ever-present help in time of trouble. He is my cleft on the rock. When we are still with God, he shows us what we could not hear otherwise. How many of you have had breakthroughs in understanding your children, your spouse, your something at work, your neighbor, maybe yourself when you're mowing the grass, or you're working in the laundry room, or you're cleaning out the car, you're doing something that didn't require your full attention, and there you are, and all of a sudden something breaks out, clarity for you, you're able to hear it. God does speak to us in those ways in the midst of doing something else. And he also wants to speak to us when we're not doing anything else. And that's where we find the story of Samuel. Samuel's name means heard in the Hebrew. His story is a story about a miraculous birth. Many of you know the story. Some of you are named Hannah. Some of you are named Samuel. Hannah was the mother of this boy. And she had wanted to have a child, and she wasn't able to have a child. She probably went through the anguish of stillbirths and miscarriages. And in all of that, she felt deep grief. And then she went into a worship experience, and she prayed and prayed and received the blessing of a worship leader by the name of Eli. He said, may the Lord grant you the request. And a year later, she came back with her boy. And then she dedicated her boy to the Lord in service. That would have been her covenant with God. And so Samuel grew up in Shiloh, this worship center of Israel in that day. And he grew up with a mentor called Eli. And Eli once had been a really strong, vibrant leader for the people of Israel. And then disappointments accumulated in his life. He got disappointed in his sons. He got disappointed in people and got disappointed in himself. And all that disappointment, he became cynical. And all of his cynicism, he stopped listening to God to renew his spirit, to revive him. He stopped listening to God because he said to himself, I think, what difference does it make? And if you're here today and that's where you are, know that God is saying to you, he will make the difference in your life that you need to have made. Trust him and listen to him. So Samuel is just a little boy, was next to the Ark of Covenant, and there was an Ark of Covenant before Harrison Ford and, you know, that whole thing, you know, Indiana Jones. There really was an Ark of the Covenant that carried with it the Ten Commandments, chiseled stone received by Moses from Mount Sinai. It was the holiest of holy, all the artifacts of Israel, and it was there in the worship center, and there Samuel would sleep at night with the lamp of the Lord still burning. The lamp of the Lord is the sign that God's presence goes before us. His message will be revealed to us. He lights our paths so that we may see our way. And Samuel was asleep, and one night he continued to hear, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel got up one time and went to Eli and said, yes, Lord, I'm here, master. What do you want? And Eli said, go back to sleep. I didn't call you. A second time, the same. The third time, Samuel again went up to his master and said, yes, Lord, here I am, hear you. And he said, no, it's not me calling you. God is giving you a message. And so when you hear it next time, say, Lord, here am I. Your servant listens. It's a great gift to really be in the presence of God and really be willing to listen to what God is wanting to say into your soul. For all of us, that's the power. When I was a little boy, I remember mother reading the Bible stories to me and my older sister and two brothers. And there are still today, there are times I'll read a great classic story like Samuel, and I'm hearing my mother's voice is when she had first read it to my awareness. And hearing her voice, it's a sense of that presence just penetrating in. Read scriptures to your grandchildren, to your children. Read scripture aloud in your family. Read scripture that you can hear, because the scripture was first inspired to be heard before it was to be read. There's a power in the hearing of the message. Now, as you know, this is coming from a guy who's had 5 ear surgeries. My first one, I was 17. My last one was 6 weeks ago. I mean, hearing has been a difficult thing for me to acquire in my right ear. Fortunately, I hear great in my left ear. But since I was a boy, it's been hard to hear with my right ear. So listening is something I've learned in life not to take for granted. It's a gift to take in the message that's being spoken or sung and listen to God and read the word and let it speak and listen to each other, and so a third time. And so when he did, Eli realized what was going on, and he spoke that reality to Samuel. And he said, Samuel, I want you to really listen to God and tell me what you hear. And he did. The power of that message then is a way of coming for us. Secondly, what he has to say for us is knowing that if we've heard the message, we need to accept, to apply the meaning of the message. When we hear it, then what do we do with it? Vicky's helping to lead a crossing today, so she's not here, so I can say this. She would say, you know, Leslie, did you hear me? And I said, yes, well, I haven't seen you do it yet. You know, I'm not sure if you really heard me, you know. If you have anybody in your life that will speak that to you, yeah. The sense of really listening to each other requires a response. There's an action that goes with it. Our youth, we had 50 youth, powerful, beautiful youth, which we have some of our leaders here today, gathered last weekend, 50 of our youth gathering around the theme of being together, the sense of being together to really hear God's message updated in their life, to hear from each other, the power of doing together what they have heard God speaking into their hearts and their lives. That's the power. For our children and our youth and adults. And so the second time, the third time, and the fourth time, then the Lord came and stood. Came and stood and calling as the other time said, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Recently we had, Catherine was baptized here. What a beautiful woman being baptized by her beautiful faith in Christ. And in her baptism from just a couple of weeks ago, what she said was, what I now have heard is I have a new life. This new life and God's love for me, I have heard the message in my life. And she celebrated, and we celebrated with her. It's the power of really taking in the message, but we have to apply the message for it to become alive for us. When you were gracious to call me as your pastor, and I said yes, and we were Baptist, so I came in view of a call, and that means you get voted in or out. So I came in view of a call, and first I realized I had to get here because we were under an ice storm in Louisville, Kentucky, and the electricity was out. It was out in our house. We got generators in the house. It was just a mess, and they're getting ready to close the airport. And so I called Gardner and Diana and chairs of the team, and I said, I'm going to have to come in early because they're about to close the airport. They said, okay, come on in early. And when we went back to Louisville, all electricity was still out in that part of town. And you were kind enough to say you'd heard a message of God to call us to come and be with you. And grateful that we've been called together. But that's required obedience. And in this 10 years of time, I've been stretched. You have made me a better person, a wiser pastor. You have stretched me and made me to more of a person who I need to be to do what I'm called to do. That's the gift of what it means to be in relationship. And my prayer is that I've done the same for you. To be truly in relationship with each other is not to leave us the same, but to take us into the best of where God is wanting us to be, and it requires for us then to follow through in what he is providing. And so, By acting, then. By acting, we take our third piece in to act on what we know to get to what we don't know. I mean, I guess I could have said in Louisville, yes, I think the Lord is calling me, and yes, I'll be there, but I never showed up. Well, you wouldn't have spent another second with me if a person is not willing to show up to the call of God. And our church is being called out by God to show up. And so our 100-plus ministries are about showing up of how we hurt the hurt of humanity in order to be present in the humanity. And here was Samuel getting the message into the Lord, and he acted on it, and then he went to Eli to tell him the message. And Eli said, tell it all to me, because I know you've got some hard words for me to hear. I feel it, but I want the full message of God to be spoken to me, for he is the Lord, and let him do what is good in his eyes to me. Even when God speaks hard words to us, know that they are can ultimately be good words to us. One of the most famous success stories of being 65 years or older is Colonel Sanders from Kentucky. It's Kentucky Fried Chicken. He was living in the mountains of Appalachian, eastern Kentucky, and there, and he was been frying chicken for years. And finally, a guy called John Y. Brown stepped into his place and said, let's franchise your chicken. So he moved from there to Louisville. I lived in the county where he had lived. He became a Christian after age 65. He became a Christian after his business took off after being 65. Not only did his business take off, but his life was transformed. And so he says, I guess the moral of my story is this. Maybe your boat hasn't come in just when you turn 65. Maybe there's more to come your way. To listen and to see what God will show. The Kennedy family is here, and all three generations, different family members. Frances, Larry's wife, Dana's mother, Audrey's grandmother, family members. She passed away on Friday. And as many times, Frances inspired us what it means to really listen to God. She was diagnosed with a disease last fall, thought we could whoop it, and things got worse. Got diagnosed, update 2 weeks ago, thought we'd still have a breakthrough, but it was clear the breakthrough wasn't going to happen. So in my last conversation with her a few hours before she passed away, I just felt the peace of a woman who had come to terms with her end of her life on earth. She wasn't fighting it. She wasn't struggling against it. Though she had hoped for more, and my word to Frances was, you could have done more if you had lived longer. But you've also completed your life, and there's your peace. You didn't need to do more than what you've done. And with great peace, the next sound she would hear after Friday was the eternal sound of God's love in a space and time more real than earth itself, in heaven, where all God's words are first formed, where all God's messages first come. They come from there to be delivered to us because there is the inseparable connection of heaven to earth. So we pay attention, because these words are not meant to fall to the ground. Samuel is a boy. What was said about him? Well, 1 Samuel 3:19 was this word. He grew up, and God did not let the words of Samuel fall to the ground, because Samuel first let his words be shaped by having been with God. What a way to live. In a noisy world, what a way to listen to the story of God in our lives. Let's pray together. We love you and we need you. And so in this worship, when we have had a moments of silence, and we've been singing, we've been hearing your word. So now, We say, here we are, Lord. Here am I. And may you direct us through Christ. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.